Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Friday edition of the Steve Jones Show as we head for the weekend. News Radio 1070 WKOK and Sean Carey. In a second, Steve will be checking in from the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, Ford Lincoln Hyundai, North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummelsworth. Friday edition of our show, always brought to you by Corey and the crew at Brewers Outlet, the beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Stock up on what you need for all the basketball this weekend, all the racing action you could be watching. Yes, including IndyCar. The suit's happy about that. How about it, Kevin? Old Milwaukee and Old Mill Light 24-pack cans, $11.98. Coors Light 36-pack cans, $19.95. And Owl's Brew Rattler. 24-pack cans are $8.95 while supplies last. Those specials are good through Tuesday. And while you're there, you can load up on ice, snacks, the fresh roasted peanuts, and, of course, the pickle bar, too. Second to none, according to Jonesy, and he knows. He's been hooked up big time from the pickle bar at Brewers Outlet on Reagan Street in Sunbury. You can find us at SteveJonesShow.com, also our Facebook page. Give us a like. Follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle at SteveJonesPSU. And our email address is stevejones@wkok.com. A lot happening today. Terrific friend of the show, Kim Jones from NFL Network. She'll be busy next week reporting on all the free agency that will be taking place. Last weekend, and as every year for Kim, she gets to go to Indianapolis to the NFL Scouting Combine. So we will get her take on Saquon Barkley and the rest of the Penn State stars that absolutely crushed it at the Combine. So Kim will be checking in next hour. And of course, we always wrap up the week with Steve's brother, Kevin Jones. He'll be calling up from Connecticut. Wrap up the show with Kevin at 4:35. So the Philadelphia Eagles are not done trading. But this time they're trading a player to another team. Veteran wide receiver Torrey Smith going to the Carolina Panthers in exchange for cornerback Daryl Worley. That's according to various sources. Smith caught 36 passes, 430 yards, and two touchdowns for the Super Bowl champion Eagles last year. Also added 13 catches for 157 yards and a touchdown in the postseason. So prior to the trade, the Eagles were about $14 million over the salary cap. So they got to start shedding more cash between now and March the 14th, which will be the official start of the 2018 NFL year. Smith was scheduled to make a base salary this season of $5 million. Daryl Worley, coming to Philly from Carolina, he's in the third year of a four-year rookie deal, scheduled to make $650,000. Staying in the NFL, this has been kind of in the news for the last day or so. Richard Sherman is going to be leaving Seattle. But wait, pump the brakes. Now we're hearing that they want Sherman to test free agency, but then they would be more than happy to have him back in Seattle.
Yeah, under the contract that fits them.
Yeah.
Not him. That's what it comes down to.
No, that reminded me of Tyrann Mathieu. That was also in the news yesterday with the Cardinals. Yeah, we'd love for you to stay, but how about a pay cut?
Exactly. Well, yeah, I have to tell you a funny story. I'm doing the talk show last night at Permanis.
Which you had you on the way home, yes.
Which you doubled the ratings of by listening.
I'm here to serve.
This guy comes up to me yesterday after the show's over, and he said, you saved me a lot of money. I'm thinking, me? What, are you kidding me? Evidently, he was driving, and now, I didn't know this, but you're not allowed to have earbuds in when you drive.
I was aware of that, yes.
Okay, I was not. All right. So,
I knew that was a Pennsylvania law. I would assume that's a law in many, many states.
Well, this is, he was in Pennsylvania at the time. Okay. So, police officer sees him, does the right thing, and pulls him over. And he said, I don't know what I was doing. He says, I was going the speed limit. I had my hands at 10 and 2. I'm like, what the heck? And he came in, and the officer said, he said, do you know what you did wrong? And he says, officer, I really don't know what I did wrong. He said, you're not, he said, you have earbuds on. He said, what were you listening to? He said, you can't have that in Pennsylvania. He goes, ugh. So then the officer said, I said, all right. He says, what were you listening to? listening to the show on the app.
Love it.
All right.
But I feel bad though. I feel like we're causing rebels to do wrong out there.
Right. Well, evidently, said police officer also enjoys the show. And let him off with a warning.
Nice.
Okay.
You and I are a bad influence.
I mean,
to some extent.
But we also helped.
Right, we did.
But we also helped.
That's true.
A shake and bake, and I helped. No. yeah. I thought that was interesting.
Two more great listeners. That doubles our ratings. Yes.
What are we doing?
Man.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. So.
He must not have the setup, and he must have been driving in an older car, because luckily I have the wiring. I can go from my phone and into an adapter in my car, so I'm able to listen to the app and goes through my speakers when I'm on the road. So I don't have to worry about the earbuds.
Don't look at me. I have no idea. Don't look at me. But I was told that story last night.
That's very cool.
Well, okay. There you go. So, that was the story of the day. Now, Phil Savage, Alabama color analyst, former NFL general manager, runs the Senior Bowl, is going to join us today. Kim Jones today. My brother today. All brought to you by Brewers Outlet today. Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews. Best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar is indeed second to none, led by the barrels and the dills. Look, stock up for Selection Sunday. You know, especially if you're a Bucknell fan, there's plenty to celebrate. You're in. By the way, I think Alabama's in. They just beat Auburn, 81-63.
And Auburn stayed in the locker room. I was watching the first part of the second half while I was grabbing a late lunch, and wow. What a comeback by Alabama.
Outscored them 50-22 in the second half. 50-22 second half. Outscored them. I mean, I'm talking, they ran them out of the building. Ran them out. Alabama now most assuredly is in the NCAA tournament. They beat Texas A&M on the final play of the game yesterday. They won today over Auburn. They will get either Kentucky or Georgia in the SEC semifinal, but I think they've won their way in. I think Alabama is in, led by Colin Sexton. So there you go. So that's what you got. Now, Middle Tennessee State is the one that is a quandary. Awesome record, but lost in the quarterfinals of their tournament. So that's interesting. What do you do with them? Are they an at-large? Are they good enough to be an at-large? Don't know. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet. All right, great to have you with us on the show today. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar is indeed second to none. Led by the barrels and the dills. All of Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. By the way, Brewers Outlet specials between now and Tuesday. Old Milwaukee and Old Mill Light, 24-pack cans, $11.98. Coors Light, 36-pack cans, $19.95. Owl's Brew Rattler, 24-pack cans, $8.95, while supplies last. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right, so where are we on the scoreboard today? It was a big day for Alabama. They won. I think they won their way in. They outscored Auburn 50-22 in the second half, 181-63. Cincinnati beat SMU 61-51, so that's a relief for a lot along the way. Cincinnati won and won impressively. Same thing with Rhode Island. Rhode Island was in a tight one with VCU. Those in the bubble need Rhode Island to win. They did, 76-67. Kentucky and Georgia playing now. Winner plays Alabama. Providence takes on Xavier at 6:30 tonight. Clemson, Virginia, and North Carolina, Duke tonight. Also tonight, Kansas State against Kansas. And let's see, what's on the opposite side of that one? That would be opposite side of the bracket in the Big 12 is Texas Tech, West Virginia. So, you know, Oregon, USC tonight, UCLA, Arizona, UCF against Houston tonight. You've also got, say, I mentioned Clemson, Virginia, Duke, North Carolina. In the Big East tonight, you've got Providence, Xavier, and you've got Butler and Villanova. SEC continues with quarterfinal play tonight, including Arkansas against Florida. And Tennessee plays Mississippi State. And did you see at one point who had the lead today at the Valspar Championship? That's right. At one point, tied for the lead, and his round is complete. Tiger Woods. Now, he's fallen off the pace just by being in the clubhouse because Corey Connors is having a great tournament. So right now, Woods is in second place with Brant Snedeker, Paul Casey, at 400 par, and Ryan Palmer, all at 400 par, Kelly Kraft. But Corey Connors of Canada is the leader right now at 700 par. And is still playing. But Woods has himself in contention. Now, can he put four rounds in a row together? We're going to find out. So, Woods had a big day today. Tiger Woods was asked about seeking a win in the same amount of time as Mickelson, because Mickelson went 4.5 years, and he said, no, he said, I don't look at it like that. I haven't played. He's been playing the past 4 to 5 years. Two totally different scenarios. He's been there with a bunch of chances to win, playing really well, whereas I'm just starting. And he's exactly right. Mickelson has put himself in a position to win, and to his credit, I mean, let's face it, you know, he's in his late 40s now. He's 47, and he's still every week you feel like he's in the neighborhood. It's pretty impressive. Tiger Woods is starting over again. But you're going to have people watching the Valspar Championship this weekend. Why? Because he's on the board. His name on the board means something to ratings. Whether you love him or you don't. People want to see him succeed. Some people want to see him fail. But having his name up there, impressive. Very impressive. Tyler Cook of Iowa announced today that he is opting for the NBA draft, but no agent, which means he'll go through the process. Cook is not going to get drafted, but this will be good for him to go through and get the process rolling. I mean, he's declaring. Now you're saying, well, why aren't others declaring? Because others are still actively playing. Iowa's season is done. That's why he has declared. So, no, a couple of other interesting things that came up in the last 24 hours. And that is in the sport of ice hockey. Illinois has put together evidently a very extensive study on ice hockey as to whether they should build an arena or Champaign-Urbana should build an arena to play. And there were a lot of, quote, positives in that report that they received. And then that was followed up by the news that Coralville, Iowa, and Coralville is right next to Iowa City. Whenever Penn State plays basketball, football, Penn State stays up at Cedar Rapids. Basketball stays in Coralville, which is right next to Iowa City. Coralville's thinking about building a 5,000 to 6,000 seat arena. And if they do, Iowa might consider hockey. You might get two more hockey programs in the Big Ten. So, just thought I'd pass those notes along to Phil Savage. Coming up next half hour. Looking forward to hearing what he has to say, because Phil also runs the Senior Bowl. Plenty to talk about with him. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet.
You know what the best thing about Sunbury Motors Kia is?
I got nothing.
Hey, you're right.
I'm right?
Yep, you said nothing.
I'm confused. Nothing is the best thing about Sunbury Motors Kia?
Yep.
I'm still confused.
At Sunbury Motors Kia, it's all for nothing. Huh? Zero, zilch, nothing. No interest for up to 75 months on all new Kias.
So nothing is something at Sunbury Motors Kia.
It's all for nothing in March at SMC. Get 0% financing for up to 75 months on 2018 Kia Fortes, Optimus, Sportages, and Serenos. 0% financing for 66 months on 2018 Kia Souls and Sedonas. And 0% for 60 months on 2018 Kia Rios and Niros. And all include Kia's 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf.
Financing offers available to qualified buyers through payment financing in lieu of rebate. Excludes Kia Stinger and Cadenza. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to Kia.com.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar is indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and it's always a pleasure. Phil Savage, of course, former NFL GM, color analyst on the Alabama Network with Eli Gold, and also runs the Reese's Senior Bowl. Phil, it is always a great pleasure, my friend. Great to hear you again.
Thanks, Steve. Hope you're doing well, and maybe the weather is broken up there. Hopefully it has down here, certainly. Spring has sprung.
And by the way, I mentioned that Jack Ham, you'd be on. He wanted to pass along his best to you.
That's awesome. Hope Jack is doing well. He's one of the best. I tell you, I learned a lot from him my first year in 2009 doing the color for Alabama in terms of what it really takes to try and be good at that job.
And you are. You and Eli are a dynamic combination because you bring something different to the table, and that includes your experience of trying to work with the Senior Bowl. What did it mean to the Senior Bowl to get a Heisman Trophy winner to get down there and be a part of what was going on?
Well, I tell you, a lot of things fell into place for us this year at the Reese's Senior Bowl with Baker Mayfield accepting his invite. He did that on December the 22nd, which was a couple of days ahead of the Christmas holiday, and that was a present that we weren't sure we were going to get. So it was really exciting to have Baker here because he was the first Heisman Trophy winner senior that played in the game since 2006 when Troy Smith was here from Ohio State. Of course, Tim Tebow did come through Mobile in 2011, but he had won the Heisman as a sophomore, so that was a little bit different. But I tell you, it went beyond Baker. We had Josh Allen, the quarterback from Wyoming, here who's likely to be a top 10, if not a top 5 pick in the spring. Shaquem Griffin, the young man from UCF that is really to me, outside of the quarterbacks, and I think maybe even including the quarterbacks in my mind, he is the story of this 2018 draft as these next few months unfold. He's a young man with one hand who was trying to make it into the NFL. Of course, he had an amazing combine last weekend in Indianapolis.
Well, more than, and you got to see him firsthand, Phil. You know, look, it's how he's had to play. So he knows how to play his game. When you watch him, what are some fundamentals that he brings to the game that allows him to utilize his other natural gifts to then be an effective player on the field?
Well, of course, he's got a twin brother that's already in the league, and Shaquem played corner, and Shaquem.
Right.
Yeah, they struggled at UCF trying to figure out where to play him. And finally, these last 2 years, he played sort of a hybrid outside backer, defensive end type of position. But there are a couple of elements that he brings to the table that will carry over into the league. First of all, he's fast. He ran 4.38 last weekend at the combine. He's instinctive. He's got a nose for the football. He really does have a knack for finding his way to the ball carrier. And then the third thing is that he always hustles. You don't see him take plays off. And so you add those three, you put those three elements together. There's not a defensive coach in the NFL that would turn away from a prospect that has those three traits in their game. So I think Shaquem, his floor will be the special teams player on kickoff coverage and then punt coverage, probably as an outside gunner where protection is not involved. And then as a position, I see him as a will linebacker that can scrape and run from the backside and then occasionally blitz and come off the edge as a rusher. This is a player that I think he absolutely will now be drafted. I don't think there's any doubt about it at this point. And I think ultimately he will make a 53-man roster, and I think we'll see him on the field as soon as next year.
I agree with you. And if you're going to, as a player, and I've said this for many years now, if you really want to really improve your stock, you have to be at the Senior Bowl. I mean, to me, that's the one above all. I look at a couple of Penn State players, one Mike Gesicki and the other Deshaun Hamilton. I felt being there really helped them. What was your opinion?
Yeah, of course, Mike came in and had an outstanding week here. in mobility. He's got that leggy stride where he can just get up on top of people before they really anticipate it. He's got some separation ability. The catch radius is really almost beyond belief. I mean, if you're a quarterback that misses him, then you're really inaccurate because he's got such a wingspan, and he can jump and elevate and extend for the ball. But he did well here, and I was really super excited to see him, you know, showcase his skills at the combine because I think he's got a lot of momentum now, Steve. I think he's got a chance to be a first rounder in this era of the NFL where people are looking for those mismatch kinds of players. He brings a lot of elements to the game that these offensive coordinators will like. And then, of course, with Deshaun Hamilton, a little bit of an interesting story. He was sort of an alternate for us. He rode right outside of our, you know, top six or seven North receivers for, it seemed like, weeks on end. And nothing really happened. Took his invite to the East-West Shrine Game. He did well there. And then we had a couple guys bail out at the 11th hour. And that got him into the game here in Mobile. And I tell you, he took full advantage of it. He was terrific in the practices, almost uncoverable in the practices because of his savvy, his quickness in and out of the route. Look, people know he's not particularly fast, but he's quick and he's really instinctive. And he did very well here in Mobile.
What does it take for you to select players for this game? We talked about that Deshaun was just outside of what you were looking at. So what's that process like so the fans understand when they see somebody get a Senior Bowl invite where they get to work with NFL people all week? What's that process to get them there?
Well, when I got here six games ago, I met with the staff in June of 2012 and just said, look, you know, we're not an NFL franchise as an organization, but we can be the 33rd team from a scouting standpoint. And so I said if a team was charged with being responsible for bringing the players to Mobile, how would they do it? And what they would do is build out their watch list over the summer like we do. We have a 400-person player watch list that goes out at the end of August. And then, Steve, between myself and I have a couple staffers that are young aspiring scouts that are on their way to the NFL, between those two individuals, and then I have several guys who are stationed across the country that are either between jobs or, again, trying to move up the ladder or maybe semi-retired and on the other side of their career. And this year alone, between that group of people that have, they filed 776 scouting reports last fall.
Wow.
And so ultimately, in August, September, October, we're going to practices. We're talking to the college coaches. We're seeing them in live games. And by the time we get to November the 1st, it's starting to shake out in terms of who we think are the top 110 players in the country that are seniors or either graduates as fourth-year players. And that's when the invites start to go out. And typically, it takes about 130 invites to get 110 players. Typically, we have about 20 prospects a year that either have an ongoing unresolved injury or they just opt not to participate here thinking that they've done enough to impress the teams. And I tell you, it's a week that really gives the candidates a true look at what life in the NFL is going to be like from a practice and performance standpoint, and then the interviews. We have some financial education that takes place here, media training, and then an opportunity to connect with the Mobile community on that day before the game. So they get a taste of everything that comes with the responsibilities of an NFL player.
How important has it been with your varied experience? Now you're obviously working on this side, like Jack and I are, and you're working with Eli. You mentioned media training, and interview training and so forth. How important has been your now varied experience to make sure that is incorporated because you know how important it is?
Well, those are things that were added to the game. You know, once I got here, I had a high-profile agent say to me after the first year, he said, you know, Phil, the players show up there and they really don't know what they're about to experience. And he said, you should have an orientation meeting where, as a former GM, you really explain what the expectations are and what they can anticipate. And so we started doing that, and then we've added these different elements where you know, oftentimes that if you're a college player, you're told, rightfully so, that, hey, what happens here stays here. We're going to keep it in-house. And there's not a lot of individualism when it comes to dealing with the media. You know, all of a sudden they get to the Reese's Senior Bowl, and they've got 600 members of the media that are from all parts of the country that want to know more about them. And so we try to educate them, saying, look, it is the ultimate team sport. But it's all about individual branding and you building your own reputation with a rider from Seattle right. or Kansas City, where you might end up going as a draft pick, and now all of a sudden you get there, he's already written some positive stories about you, and you end up there, and there's already a bit of a relationship there. And so, you know, that's just one example of some of the things that we try to give the prospects here to give them a head start on the rest of the field that's out there. And, of course, as I mentioned, we had, you know, 400 players on our watch list, the NFL scouting, probably close to 700 or 800 players throughout the fall. So for those 100 that make it here, it really is a prestigious invitation. And I thought this year's game and the two teams that were put together took a lot of pride and really understood that it was a true honor to be part of the event down here this year.
One more question, Phil, I'll let you go. And that deals with the Senior Bowl this year. You and I both know that in the NFL, the game is won from the pocket. I mean that's where it happens. You can talk all you want about RPO with the Eagles, but the two big touchdown throws that Nick Foles made were from the pocket. When you look at today's college game, because you're so immersed in it yourself, and you have an interesting quarterback situation, obviously, at Alabama, are you starting to see any thought along the way of the fewer number of, quote, pocket quarterbacks versus RPO quarterbacks, and is that going to change in the next 5 years what we see at the Senior Bowl and what we might see at the NFL level?
Well, Steve, I think the NFL is really having to adjust in terms of what is being produced in college. And it's not just at the quarterback position. It's at all of the positions. I mean, yep. We talked about Mike Gesicki. I mean, the question on him is, can he be an end-of-line blocker in a traditional tight end sense? Everyone knows what kind of receiver he can be.
Right.
But can he transition and be a classic NFL tight end as an on-the-line blocker? So, you know, the offensive linemen are impacted because most of the time there's just in two-point stances. It's a lot of finesse, position blocking in the college game. And as I do the Bama broadcast on Saturday, oftentimes I'll end up at an NFL game on Sunday. And, I mean, it's the same sport, but two different games.
That's right.
Completely. And so, with that being said, I do think, and we've already seen some elements of the college game trickle up to the league. However, with the salary cap and the percentage of money that's going to a singular player, the starting quarterback, the face of the franchise, to put that player at risk as a dual threat player in the NFL,
yeah.
It's just too risky for these teams to take. Now, I thought Chip Kelly, when he went to the Eagles, honestly, I thought he was going to build out a quarterback depth chart with like three guys so that if one got hurt, it didn't matter. They just go to the next one. That never happened there like I thought it might.
Right.
And again, the rest of the teams, it's too much of a risk to put your quarterback in harm's way as a runner. Now, obviously, Nick Foles and the Eagles worked around that with their RPOs. He rarely, if ever, kept the football.
That's
but
right.
they did it through an actual zone read and then a throw off of it rather than a zone read and a run off of that action. But there's no question that you've got the NFL is leaning on the colleges to be their minor league, but the minor league programs, in the general sense, aren't really prepping the players for what they're going to be asked to do in the NFL. And that's a general statement about the contrast between college and pro.
It is two different games. Thank you so much, Phil. Absolute pleasure. Don't chat often enough, but I do appreciate all the time you do give us.
Okay, Steve. You know, I should mention Christian Campbell and Marcus Allen were here for our event.
Yep.
And Christian in particular had an excellent set of practices. He ended up having a low back situation flare up on him, and he was not able to play in the game. And, of course, he didn't work out at the combine yet either. But he's a name to keep an eye on. He was from Phoenix City, Alabama.
Yep.
He ended up at Penn State. really strong week here. And I think he's somebody that has risen up the boards throughout the fall and ultimately probably a second or third round pick for somebody by the time we get to the end of April.
Yeah, he's got speed. He's got straight line speed, and his cover skills have really improved in the last year and a half, Phil. So he's put himself in a good spot. As long as he can, I think working out here on the 20th of this month, I think is something that's going to be important for him.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We'll give my best to Jack.
I will.
Let's talk again soon. I really appreciate the time, Steve. Awesome.
Same here, Phil. Thanks so much. Take good care.
Okay, good deal.
Phil Savage runs the Senior Bowl, Alabama color analyst. It's one of the best out there, former NFL GM. We'll come back with more in a moment, brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to have you with us on the show today as we keep everybody up to date on what's going on with the tournament and what that means. We'll keep everybody obviously up to date on what's going on with that. Alabama, I think, has won their way in. I don't think there's any doubt about that they have won their way in. They outscored Auburn today, 50-22 in the second half. That should do it for them, I think. At least that's what I think. And they beat Texas A&M yesterday. Played a great schedule all the way through. But we're going to see, for example, what they're going to be able to do. Seeding is going to become important here, too. I'll tell you, a team that's really in a tough spot... is going to be Middle Tennessee State. Yeah, Middle Tennessee State lost last night. That was a big one. Because nobody knows how that's going to play out. I mean, nobody knows how that's going to play out. And that's going to be... I just think that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, they've wrecked some brackets the last couple of years. That was the team that beat Michigan State a couple of years ago.
Right, no question. They did. And Kermit Davis, a heck of a coach. A lot of people think he's in line to be maybe the next Ole Miss coach. But we'll see. But that's going to be a big part of this. At least I think it will be. All right, today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.